guys. We're back on Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliano. We still got John in Oregon holding on the line. Yeah, points or questions you wanted to pose before we go to our next caller?
Well, if you don't mind me making just one last simple, obvious, observable point, and that is,
sure.
we have museums all over the world filled with dinosaur bones. We got so many dinosaur bones, it's not even funny. Somewhere in that geological strata has to be, like I said, somewhere in that 63 million years has to be evidence of some sort of, you know, transitional humanoid skeletal remains. Yet you won't go to any museum and find, there is no museum on the face of this planet that has actual bones of actual transitional humanoids. Every exhibit you see in any museum is always an artist's rendition and interpretation of how we evolved and what this could have been. It's never an actual set of bones, ever. And even if there's one skeletal remains out there that we did happen to miss, if there's one, then it's only one.
I think I might know some living candidates that could possibly be links between man and ape, but I don't know anything from the fossil record.
I really appreciate your point, John, and it brings up an interesting thought, too, and that is sometimes people will say, well, if everything was created according to the biblical scenario within a six-day week and that humans and dinosaurs lived together at the same time, then how come we don't find fossils of humans and dinosaurs together? Let's take that question, set it aside, and then bring up the question you brought up, which is how come we don't find any fossils of any kind of transitions that show evolution? We've been looking for these things for over 150 years, and all of them, and we've got a whole section in my book, Why Do People Believe That Humans Evolved From Animals, that points out that every single so-called human evolutionary transition is either all ape or all human, or all fake. And there's been a fair number of fakes that have been brought into the whole drama of this whole story over the last 150 years.
Yeah. But as far as human fossils not being found, that actually isn't true. Maybe we can go into that. Was that it, John? I should probably go to – got a couple other callers that are waiting here. I don't want to keep
them.
Yeah,
thank you so much for your time. God bless. Peace.
Yeah, thanks, John. Appreciate your calls. Great stuff. Great points. Let's go to Charlene in Missouri. Welcome to the show, Charlene.
I got in sort of late, but like this one caller said, hey, people, even though they listen, they're not going to follow anything. And I was thinking of the scripture, faith follows the report. So you don't know who's going to listen. I set out once to disprove the Bible. It took me about a year, and I found out I absolutely couldn't. And I delved into every possible way, and the more I learned, the more I realized what I already believed wasn't true. And so it says, speak truth, each man to his neighbor. So just keep pouring it out, and somebody will listen.
Excellent, excellent point, Charlene. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to just keep making it available. I like to use the reference, put the cookies on the lowest shelf, let everybody have access to them, because that's what's happening in the broad picture of what's going on in society, is that the people in control who are largely focusing on and fostering an atheistic mindset, they don't want people to know about all the things that we've been talking about. They don't want people to think for themselves. They don't want people to discover the inevitable reality that there has to be design, and that design had to be the effect of a designer.
Yeah, truth ultimately wins. You can scratch it and do everything you can to disprove it, and if it's truth, it'll hold up.
True.
Anyway, I don't even know your name. I got in so late. You wrote a book. What's the name of the book?
My name is Dennis Peterson, and the book that I wrote is called Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation.
Great. I'm going to get some for my grandkids.
You'll enjoy it, Charlie.
Oh, I know.
That's great stuff. Excellent book. Full color pictures and everything. Okay, guys, short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. And I believe we still have our caller on the line. Are you still there? Gee, I forgot her name. Let me scroll up here. Charlene in Missouri, are you still there?
Hi, Charles, it's Michael.
Oh, Mike, okay. Did we hang up with Charlene? I guess. I thought she was still going to hang on. All right, Mike, glad to have you.
Hey, Charles, thank you, sir. Thanks for taking my call and a great show. Just want to chime in with the scientific facts, verifying that the creation theory is definitely way more valid than any kind of evolutionary theory. And, of course, the design theory is one of the major evidences we have, because we cannot point out anything, any object that is existing that wasn't created. Everything that we have in our world, that a car, a table, a chair, you name it, somebody made it. So we can't go out into nature and say, well, geez, that tree over there, that body of water, water itself, just came out of nowhere. Obviously, somebody designed it, and when you know something about chemistry, biology, geometry, mathematics, and you see it's all integrated in that design, whether it's water or minerals or plant life or animal life.
Well, you know,
obviously,
here's something interesting. In recent years, they found this out. There's a lot of migrating bird species now that actually have a small little pocket in their brain that has floating microscopic filaments of magnetite, which they now believe they use to help navigate using the Earth's magnetic field. How does a bird evolve pockets of magnetite, non-living material, in their brains?
I love it. That's good
stuff. That's great. Yeah, isn't that, science proves there's God, and if anybody claims to be a scientist and says they can't prove God, they're obviously an amateur, or they're a liar. And all the other evidence where they cannot only not find the missing link for human beings, but they also cannot find the missing links for wheat, apple trees, peach trees, grapes, every domestic grain and fruit tree, every single one, corn, all of them, they all appeared out of nowhere. There is no gradual genetic evolution from a wild grape to a domestic grape, from a wild apple tree to a domestic apple tree, and on and on. And so everything we have just seemed to appear out of nowhere, just like the Sumerians, by the way, had, anybody knows their archaeology, the Sumerians had recorded it as such. And then also, just the mere fact now that we are thinking beings. Now, thinking is thought. Now, thought is not material. So how does thought come about since it's non-physical?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a creator behind the thought. Otherwise, because it's non-physical, because there's no way something non-physical can be created by something that's just physical.
Yeah, that's good, Michael. Good stuff. Keep it up.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
thank
Mike,
you.
Call. Great stuff.
Hey, Charles?
Yeah.
Can I mention one other thing? Also,
oh, yeah, sure.
We mentioned this last week, and I'd be glad to submit some photographs. We have evidence of living dinosaurs. The Japanese fishing trawler that was shown on Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World in Search of Sea Serpents, where the Japanese in the 70s hauled out with a net
a sea
serpent.
Sore.
That's right, and it's clearly one of those creatures. And I also have one that's more serpentine, that's a more recent one somewhere in the Russian area territories, and I've got one in Nova Scotia that's more like the plesiosaur as well, that washed up on the shoreline. And so,
have you seen the pictures of the Stegosaurus at the Angkor Wat archaeological site? It dates to about the 12th century in Cambodia.
Yes, exactly.
Carved on a temple wall, there's this, it's obvious. You look at it, it looks like a picture out of a modern textbook. It's a Stegosaurus. There's no question. It's got the plate on the back of the head and the big fat legs and the hunched back, and it's got the, plates
on
the back.
All that armor on the back.
The armor, yeah. I mean, there's no question.
And you know what's funny, guys? When, like, that find with the Japanese sea trawler, and they send out their scientists to study it, and the one in Nova Scotia or the one in Russia, you know, since it's all photographed, the evidence is there, and what do? They toss it back or they bury it. They don't want the public to know about it. We've got these controllers that are controlling our establishments, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and all their minions clearly want us in the dark ages. They don't want us to know anything about the real history of this planet and what our origins are really all about, because it always leads back to God Almighty and the good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, they're all followers of the Freemasonry that worships a different kind of God, and so it's advantageous for them to demean belief in any other God, particularly the Creator.
That's right. Even beyond that, Charles, what it comes down to is they don't want us to recognize our spiritual being, because if they can keep us just at the physical level, we're just grunts, we're savages and all that, and deny our spiritual being, then we can never have the opportunity to discover that, explore it, expand it like the Lord taught us to do, so that we can start a golden age, a golden civilization, where everything's going to be incredibly beautiful. Like all those great inventors like Tesla, with those free energy devices, there would have never been pollution.
Right, yeah.
unlimited dirt cheap energy sources. You don't have you wouldn't need grids. You could build your house remotely. You don't need a wire to power it from a road. You can would have ultimate freedom and of energy and movement, making us highly, highly productive, way more than we ever had been so far, really bringing about a true golden age, which is the way God plans on everything to evolve. And so they're denying us. These devil-worshipping dirtbags are denying us all of this rich, rich life that we could be experiencing here.
And, of course, as any tyrant knows, when you want to exercise total control over people, you've got to get rid of their moral standards so
That's
you can
right.
enforce your ideas on them. If they have loyalties to belief in a higher being that has laid out moral standards already, obviously you're not going to get away with your tyranny. So you have to erase that from their minds. And so
exactly.
there's a definite concerted effort here to, under the guise of science, to accomplish that.
That's right, to keep us in the dark ages. Exactly, gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right. It's all a matter of control, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. And whether
right.
it's control by religious hierarchy, whether it's in some medieval setting with the Catholic Church, and I'm not down on Catholics, don't get me wrong here, but you know what? There's been a lot of abuse within religious systems. The
oh,
Pharisees
sure.
in Jesus' time, again, the Jewish faith obviously has its roots in God calling Abraham, and then working through David and Moses and all of that. I mean, let's face it, God has been working through all mankind all these times, but then what does man do? They want to get in and control other people. And so they both build little boxes around their religion, little boxes around their society, and that's what we see happening in the world of secular science and education.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're up against. And as God is trying to work through man to bring about his enlightenment, his kingdom on earth, as the Lord stated, we have the dark forces spawning off their prodigy, which serves the dark forces, and they gain material control via the money supply. Once you own the money, any form of the ultimate wealth that we have down here at the material level, so then they can control everything else, and then the weak humans that just see the money as the means of easy living and a luxurious lifestyle and all that, missing the big picture, they sell out their souls to those dark forces, and then hence we're in the mess that we're in right now, and it's really never changed since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's the same old game. They just changed the name to fit the times, but it's the same old game. Nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, any more points? Okay, thanks a lot.
That's pretty much it, guys. Thanks again, and have a great day, gentlemen.
Thanks, Michael. You too.
You too. Thanks for the call. Boy, look, getting a lot of callers today. I tell you, it's generated a lot of interest. But, you know, this is a hot topic.
You start sparking with some of this stuff, and naturally you're going to raise people's interest.
Yeah. Well, yeah, truth is controversial. And I mean, I don't call this Truth Hurts Radio for nothing. You know, it...
Yeah.
The truth does hurt. People might not want to hear it, but they need to hear it. I mean, we've been fooled by a whole lot of things by our so-called leaders for a long time now, and we don't have to accept this guff that they're ramming down our throats.
Yeah.
Especially when we're not on the payroll of some prestigious university that requires us, compels us to comply, or we lose our jobs. We don't have to go along with this little scheme of theirs. And I would hope if we were employed by such an institution, we still wouldn't go along. But in any case, you know, this is a scam. Let's call it what it is. There's no hint. And again, just on scientific grounds alone, regardless what your religious or lack thereof background is, on a scientific basis alone, this doctrine, this dogma is not defensible. And I got to laugh because, you know, they say that people who believe in creation have blind faith, but good heavens, it requires a lot more blind faith to believe that this is all the result of an accident. I mean, that's as blind as faith can get.
Yeah, yeah. Charles, we've talked about quite a variety of things. We've touched on fossils. We've touched on biology. We've touched on catastrophism and things like the Grand Canyon and various other kinds of evidences in nature. But I think it's really special for us to recognize, too, that because the way that man is created uniquely in the image of his creator, that he has always demonstrated down through history an evidence of tremendous advancement and ability mentally, socially.
Let's talk
culturally.
Some more about that when we get back. We got to go to a short break. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back with Dennis Peterson.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com. Or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hey guys, welcome back to True Thirds Radio. It's your host Charlie Giuliani. We've got as our guest again Dennis Peterson, talking about the fallacy of the secular scientific dogma of evolution. How it just doesn't add up with the facts, folks. It just doesn't. Sorry. You know, if you don't want to accept the alternative that we have a creator that's responsible for our existence, well, that's fine. But you're going to have to come up with something much more tenable than evolution. Good luck. Anyway, yeah, Dennis, before the break, you brought up an interesting point. Did you want to pick up with that? And we can
absolutely. You know, I have a broad interest in sciences, nature, and history. History happens to be my favorite. But when you look at the history of mankind, there is so much evidence that points to what you might call a biblical, or maybe you could call it historic Hebrew, understanding of reality. And that is that from the very beginning, before the flood and after the flood, man has always been very technologically savvy. Man has been advanced. Man has always been eloquent. Man has had the capacity to do some extraordinary things. But we have seen in our generation, in the last couple of generations, this idea that man, you know, started from some kind of a brute beast, and so he's now at the apex of his technological development. And so now supposedly we're in the golden age of technology. If anybody starts to study the real history of the world and starts to dig into some of the things that you don't get taught in school, you begin to realize that the golden ages of any culture are past, thousands of years past. And so you begin to realize, well, if that's true, then what do we have to explain that? First of all, when you understand that people lived a long time, that they lived together over generations, grandparents, great-grandparents, and great-great-grandparents living together, sharing their accumulated technology over generations prior to the flood, and then quickly after the flood. And when I talk about the flood, some people say, oh, you're just talking religion. No, we're not. The flood is the single most historically acknowledged event in the entire world of history. Every single major culture practically acknowledges a global flood, talks about a golden age before the flood, talks about significant things that are consistent with the biblical understanding following the flood. And so you put all this together and you realize some fascinating things with regard to what we should be able to understand about the truth of history and of the truth of mankind culturally over the thousands of years past. You know, man has always been tremendously capable. We've got this amazing brain capacity. And just the spirit of man being able to explore and develop and invent things, that didn't just happen by accident. It certainly didn't happen because of some mutation from animals. It happened because we were created in the image of our Creator. Now you go out and look at the evidence, and what do you find? Well, the most advanced continuing culture, the oldest continuing culture that's recognized in our time, is China. Isn't it interesting that the Chinese language itself actually points to the authentication of the Genesis account of creation? And here China supposedly distanced completely from any, say, modern missionary efforts by Christians or any such thing. But when you look at the language itself,
isolated.
And here you see the language itself, that is the written language of the Chinese people, actually validates the Genesis account in the Hebrew Bible of creation and other things associated with the early part of human history. And we've got a section in my book, Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation, that deals with that, citing some very reputable but very little-known sources that people just generally aren't made aware of. So if you can look at this evidence, for example, I just want to point out one thing. You look at the words of certain kinds of words in the ancient Chinese language. We're not talking about the modern, simplified Chinese characters, but the old traditional Chinese characters. And you find in them some very interesting pictographs, as I think most people are familiar with. Chinese, the historic language, is a bunch of pictures. They're called pictographs. And these little stick drawings are showing different meanings, and they're made of several different groupings of meanings. And so what is the pictograph for example, something like boat? A boat. Well, you think, well, is a pictograph of a boat just a shape of a boat? No, as a matter of fact, the pictograph for boat, and again, this goes back over 4,000 years, probably 5,000 years nearly, and it says the pictograph for boat is a it's made up of three major components: vessel, the number 8, and the picture for mouths or people. A vessel with 8 mouths. Why would that be the picture for boat? But if the Chinese language, the oldest culture on the earth, goes back to just shortly, within just a generation or so after the flood, and the descendants of Noah started spreading out over the earth, and here the Chinese language that developed then after the Tower of Babel, here you got the picture for boat, 8 mouths in a vessel, and that's exactly a representation of the survivors of the flood. There were 8 people on board.
Fascinating, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that some more when we get back, folks. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We're joined by Dennis Peterson, author of Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation. Yeah, you know, you look in the ancient world, no matter where you look around the world, all ancient cultures had legends that talked about this catastrophe, all telling the same story. And there comes a point where you've got to realize, okay, wait a minute, you know, we can't write this all off as imagination and fancy. They're all telling the same story, albeit they all added some fancy flavorings here and there, but the overall story is the same, that there was this massive flood, very few survived, and the fossil record backs it up. After a while, you got to start realizing, you know, hey, yeah, the evidence, you know, goes with this idea of catastrophism. It's not on the side of, well, of course, science now, finally, only in the past few decades, is admitting that, yeah, there were catastrophes, but of course, they're not going to talk about a global scale flood.
Especially in historical times.
But, yeah, oh yeah, of course, they'd like to push it way back. But the whole point is, even if you believe that an asteroid struck the Earth in the distant past enough so that it, you know, created calamities powerful enough to wipe out dinosaurs and other species, that would have by very nature involved a global flood, because any asteroid large enough to do what they claim happened,
right,
would have offset the Earth's entire balance, you know, knocked it off its axis, and the ocean waters would have been sent flying all over the place anyway. So you would have had a flood. But they won't admit a flood, you know. No. But yet, if you look at all the fossil formations, they'll admit, well, this had to form during a localized flood, a major one, when they're hundreds of miles long, these formations. But nevertheless, they'll say a flood happened here, down the street 10 miles. Oh, there was a flood there, 50 miles. Oh, there was a flood here. So they're still admitting to floods as being the cause of these formations, but not a global one that caused them all at once.
Yeah, they don't want to acknowledge that. And yet, when you start examining the evidence for it, it had to be global. And the fact that cultures around the world support the reality of what's reflected in the Genesis account regarding Noah, you know, it's really amazing how people in their ignorance, they'll try to say, well, anything that has to do with a Bible character, you mention Noah, you mention Paul, you mention you know, Adam, you mention anybody who they like to regard as some kind of a mythical, maybe a legendary creature or legendary personality. And they don't realize all the supporting evidence that comes from non-biblical, that is, non-Hebrew sources or non-Christian sources that support and say the same thing. They don't want to acknowledge that because they don't, in many cases, they don't even know it exists because they haven't been taught it.
There's one famous quote, I forget who it is now, but it was back in the 50s, a well-known scientist at the time, who actually said that we don't propose evolution because it makes scientific sense. We propose it because it's the only acceptable alternative to the other argument, which, of course, he meant creationism. So, you know, he's admitting a total bias and that it's not even scientific.
Yeah, I've got a couple of quotes in my book that come from that same, very same thought. And
it might have been from your book, actually, that I first found that, yeah. But there's been many others, too, even in more recent years.
Yeah. You know, they don't want to acknowledge where the evidence leads them. And this comes back to the observation when people ask, well, why do people believe it? Because of the blindness of their heart. It's a heart issue. So if a person is willing to humble themselves in their heart and say, okay, I give up. I can't get anything to make sense out of this intellectually. So what is the answer? Okay, does that mean I'm going to have to acknowledge God? Does that mean I'm going to have to acknowledge Jesus? I mean, come on. Okay, if that's the way it is, okay, God, I give up. And that's the place we've got to come to, where we have to say there's got to be something more here than what we acknowledge. And I have discovered time after time, you can read about so many people who've gone through this metamorphosis themselves, where they finally give up and they say, okay, God, if you're there, show me the next step. See, that little step of humility, God will honor, and that's when things start to open up. And then people start to say, well, it's a religion. No, we're not even talking about religion here. We're just talking about the reality that there is a creator, that every culture around the world has to come to grips with. Whether they acknowledge or worship him or not is beside the point. You have to come to grips with it. And we have to understand that man is inherently rebellious. Why is he that way? And it goes back, again, the Bible gives us the foundation for understanding why man is that.
There's no evidence of that around the world, is there? Everything's so tidy and in order.
Yeah, that man is not rebellious? Come on.
Yeah. But, you know, another point you raised, too, which is really important, is this idea that, you know, man, the further back you go, is increasingly more ignorant and has only now progressed to this advanced stage. You know, the best way to refute that is simply go back to classic Greece. Look at the great advances that were made in science and math and so forth. And then look how we sunk into the Dark Ages and had to rediscover, and probably to this day we have not rediscovered half of what the Greeks knew. It's been lost to us. But, you know, that's not a sign of continuous uphill climb. That's a seesaw ride or a roller coaster ride, you know, up and down, up and down. Man has not been steadily progressing.
And you know, sometimes here, this is another thing. Now, this is a broad stroke, but I want to paint it here for us because it's a very important thing. People say, well, we're so advanced today. Yeah, we are cumulatively advanced, and we've got a lot of technology, but you have one major catastrophe. I mean, everybody was worried about Y2K, which never materialized. They were starting to worry about, well, what if we had a major meltdown because of either, you know, a Muslim invasion or maybe some kind of a natural catastrophe where basically we lose the technology edge that we've got. most of us as individuals wouldn't know how to skin a rabbit. We wouldn't even know how to grow our own tomatoes.
Yeah,
I mean,
modern
most
society
of us are so dependent on the systems that are in place in our culture that we think we're so advanced. We may have some very focused knowledge in certain areas. Yeah, people are smart. People have got a lot of knowledge. But does knowledge mean wisdom? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
And that's why the wise person will consider...
How come our moral development hasn't been advancing along with the intellectual?
Yeah, our morality has sunk to the lowest levels.
Yeah, exactly.
And so knowledge, technology, advancement, all of these kinds of subjects get a little bit foggy when people start to kind of look at our modern time and they think we're so advanced because we can do so much so fast and there's so much knowledge. No, we're not really that advanced compared to people in the old times. I mean, you even go to Europe and explore some of the structures of what these people would take sometimes hundreds of years to build these immense cathedrals out of stone. And they didn't even have blueprints.
Yeah.
And yet they were absolutely precise, where they could build these things, you know, like hundreds of feet high. We've got some cathedrals that are over 200 feet high, and these things, they're all perfectly put together. They don't even use nails. They have no super synthetic glues to hold things together. They're putting these things together so that they're absolutely rock solid. They're engineered so precisely, and this is only 1,000 years ago.
Well, I like how I think it's in your book, you point out like a lot of the Mayan structures.
Yeah.
Today, of course, it's sweltering hot, yet you go into, and I've been there, I've been to Chichen Itza, it's true, you walk into these stone buildings and it's nice and cool inside.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
We'll think how primitive they were, but yet they probably laugh at us today with our air conditioners. That's how you cool yourselves off? And you have to pay some company? To run that thing?
Right.
We developed a method where it naturally cools you down. You don't have to pay anybody. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And see, those are the things that are often missing from our understanding of what advancement is really all about. We think we have to have all this technology, but the technology is on such a delicate edge. You pull one piece of the equation out, whether it's the electricity grid, or whether it's the technicians that kind of constantly have to keep the thing in repair, or whatever, just the money flow to keep the cash flow in place and keep things going. And we're not really in a very good place. We could be in the dark ages literally overnight. And most of us, even those who are very knowledgeable, some of the brightest people on the planet, wouldn't have a clue how to get themselves out of a mess because their focus or their technological advancements are usually in such a specific area that they don't know how to weave it all together. There's so much interdependency among the technologies and the knowledge groups.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
When you look at ancient sea travel, or, you know, who discovered the New World? You find out that people had some tremendous knowledge in the ancient time, and we discuss some of those things in my book. You know, when we talk about the Golden Age, and even advancements of technology before the flood, is there any evidence of that? Absolutely. And the evidence is usually shunned and skirted and kind of put on the side as some anomaly, some oddity, something that's so peculiar because it doesn't fit into the modern evolutionary framework of the way we think things have to be. So those are the kinds of things that we put together in the book in a very sensible way, a very low key. We're not trying to sensationalize anything. We're just trying to say, here's some pieces that you may not have seen because they're not, you know, particularly part of your normal traditional education. But you put it all together, and it does cause you to just say, wow, this is absolutely awesome. It fits together beautifully. There is a creator. We are made in the image of God. Man has been tremendously capable, and history and culture and traditions around the world support the biblical framework of Genesis, the flood, ancient man, all these things. And it's just, even dinosaurs, they're in the Bible. I was surprised when I learned that. It's been years ago now, but when I learned dinosaurs even recognized in the Bible, Absolutely. But most people don't
even
know.
Not just in the Bible, but a lot of ancient documents make reference to these giant, well, dragons, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, well, it is a fascinating study, and this is why it's really important for people to share with their kids some of these things where they can really get a handle on it and be able to explore it without any sense of incrimination or, you know, that they're going to be ostracized. No, when you look at this, it opens up everything. Everything starts fitting together. It all makes sense. There is a God. Man has always been human from the beginning. The universe and the earth are not billions of years old, and that's like, you know, the biggest insanity that anybody could mention in a modern educational institution nowadays. Yeah, where's the evidence? The evidence just leads us to exactly what we would expect a biblical framework of understanding to suggest.
Right.
So, and, you know, those are the kinds of things. Those are the kinds of things that it's just really wonderful to be able to explore and express those things with other people.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating stuff. Science takes on a whole new light. It's kind of like history. You know, history is boring the way they teach it until you realize what's really been going on behind the scenes and who's pulling the strings. Now it comes to life and it becomes fascinating. And it's like, no wonder I didn't like it. It's so drab and dry the way they present it.
Yeah.
They deliberately disconnect all the connecting links so that you don't see the pattern here and how we've been manipulated from behind the curtain. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about advanced societies and, you know, and how they rose up suddenly, like ancient Egypt, ancient Sumer, ancient Babylon. They seem to have, and even in the Americas, you know, the pre-Peruvian, pre-Inca civilizations, they just seem to have risen up overnight. Now, why do you suppose that is?
Well, of course, it did take a little time. I mean, a few hundred years is relatively overnight, because we realize that, for example, I was just down in Peru last year, and it was a fascinating time, but I learned a little bit about how the Incan culture became kind of centralized as several different cultures were amalgamated together. And so the history of those people took a period of time. It was maybe a couple hundred years at the most. But what they did was phenomenal in terms of their structure technology, their engineering, their ways of building things, where even in an area where they have had a number of earthquakes over the, you know, centuries, yet those structures have maintained themselves very much in place, and it's all a matter of putting these blocks of stone together. The stones are perfectly hewn. I mean,
just like a modern house, you buy it, and in 6,000 years, it's still going to be standing, right?
Yeah, it's just incredible how these structures have stayed there for centuries.
Well, you're lucky if a building today will stand 6 years, never mind 6,000.
Well, and what we see is that is evidence of tremendous ingenuity, tremendous forethought. When we think of the ability for people to be able to think in those terms. You know, the Great Pyramid over in Egypt is one of the most ancient, and yet certainly not by any means the most primitive. It's very advanced. And the ways that they had to build that, of course, there's still quite a bit of controversy about how they built it. We've never really been able to figure out how did they physically build that structure. In any given amount of time, it would take, even if it took them 100 years, how would they be able to do it? I mean, the systems, they'd have to be bringing stones in there by the thousands, day after day, month after month, and the thousands of people all intricately in place to do exactly what had to be done. The systems, the engineering, and the planning that had to go into that structure is just uncanny. And, of course, the fact that there are pyramids not only found in Egypt, but there are pyramids found in Central and South America, and even though we don't call them pyramids, they're more like ziggurats because they're stepped pyramids, yet why is this phenomenon of pyramids found in a number of places around the world, all coming from very ancient historical cultures? What's the purpose behind that? And there's several different ideas that we could bring up to discuss that, and all of them, I think, are valid. But the point is that there is a uniformity that people had this preoccupation with pyramids. And it all happened following the Tower of Babel. Interesting. What was the purpose of the Tower of Babel? And again, you get into the biblical account. We won't have time to go into it today. But, you know, when you look at the Tower of Babel, there was a purpose. The Genesis record gives us clearly what that purpose was, and it wasn't so that they could have a ladder where they could climb up into the clouds and then, you know, sit with God on high or sit on Mount Olympus. That's ridiculous. No, they wanted to do something, and it had to do with communication. And whether you go to Central America or Southeast Asia and you see pyramids, and what's it all about? It has to do with communication. What's going on with communications today? As people are building these towers, they're all about communication. Communication, right, is what these towers are really significant for. So what we see here, then again, historically, the basis for that understanding about towers being involved with communication, very significant.
And, you know, they look very precise, and the, you know, yeah, like you said, the function that they serve, but the style, the design, especially if you look at pyramids from Mexico and compare them with ones on the island of Java, you can't really tell them apart. And yet we're supposed to believe that these cultures developed these structures and, you know, the whole concept independently. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ancient man was very advanced and was able to transverse the oceans far more confidently than sea captains today without modern equipment like they have today. Maybe they had a modern.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com. Or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Back to Two-Thirds Radio. Only got a few more minutes left here. Boy, the time has really gone by. Once again, though, our guest is Dennis Peterson, author of Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation, a book you can get, by the way, at Amazon. You can just go to Amazon.com and search for it by name, or his name, and his the spelling is P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N, Peter Sen. And you can certainly get it that way. Excellent book. It's loaded with pictures on every single page, colored pictures. Really good stuff. He has some pictures, by the way, in there, amongst other things, of fossil human bones that have been found in layers that are said to be multiplied millions of years old. You know, they definitely go back to the dinosaur era. So obviously, either dinosaurs lived more recently or man has lived for hundreds of millions of years. Well, seeing that the claim of hundreds of millions of years is absolutely ridiculous, it's quite obvious dinosaurs lived more recently.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, Charles, when you think about those things, a lot of them, because they are so graphic, and they do really hit the nail on the head in helping people to realize that the time frame is not what we've been taught. The reality of the time frame, when we're talking about ages past, thousands of years, yes. Human history, cultural history, biblical history. You go back 5,000 years or less to the time of the flood, 6,000 years to the creation or so. You might get a few more thousand years, depending on different people's ideas about things, but you don't get millions. Millions is a fabrication based on evolutionary presuppositions, not based on the reality of biblical, historical, or scientific evidence.
Right. And that's the bottom line. You know, science is all about looking at the evidence and drawing conclusions based on the evidence, not starting with a premise and then twisting the evidence to fit the premise. And that's what they're doing. It's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I suspect, as Malcolm Muggeridge said some years ago, Malcolm Muggeridge, a great British journalist, he said, you know, I suspect something that evolution is going to be one day regarded as one of the most laughable theories that has ever been posited by human civilization. And it is. Evolution is absolutely laughable.
Well,
and yet it's become so predominant today, and that's where anybody that would even dare bring up a contrary subject than evolution is marginalized as being some kind of a radical. Come on! We're talking about, let's put all the cards on the table, let's sort it out, and let people think. They don't want to think, and they don't want to promote people to think, because when people start thinking, then they find out things that certain people in control don't want them to find out.
Don't want to find out. You go back to the Dark Ages, and they had a popular idea that rats formed from decaying trash. Rats were never seen being born, so they just assumed that they must have formed out of decaying trash. We laugh at that theory today. Mainstream science laughs, and rightly so, because it is ridiculous. But look what they're proposing today, that all life came from essentially decaying trash, you know, that primordial soup.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely.
That's even more ridiculous than just rats forming that way.
Yeah, it's just absurd in the highest degree.
Yeah. And then, you know, like I like to point out, too, look, okay, let's suppose that all the right chemical elements against all the impossible odds came about at the right time in the right place. You still had to have life come from somewhere. Where did life come from?
That's right.
What made the soup come to life? How did that happen? Oh, a lucky chance strike of lightning came along and, Well, point me an example of where we see that happening today.
Yes. Have all the chemistry, have all the genes, have all the structures, have all the systems, have all the organs that you want, but if you don't have life, you just have a corpse.
Right, and despite all their attempts in the lab with intelligence behind it, maybe not so intelligent, they still can't do it, and they never will. All right, Dennis, I want to thank you for coming on. It's been great. Maybe we can have you on again sometime. This is a great topic, and there's always a lot more to talk about.
There is.
Yeah,
love,
thanks again.
Love to be with you again, Charles. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, you bet. Take care. God bless. Okay, folks, stick with us for great shows coming up, and tomorrow we'll see you again. Take care.
With recent internet.